This morning, we're going to look at the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23 through verse 32. And I'm just going to jump right into this, my brothers and sisters. And today is Communion Sunday. And I definitely want us to know what we are doing this morning. Amen? Because so many times we go to church and we go through the motions and we really sometimes don't know what we're doing. You know, and the sad thing is, if you're old enough to know, to understand, then ignorance is not an excuse. Amen? I heard a song by the Staple Singers that said, Sister taught me how to read. It said, Sister taught me how to read. If I read and my soul is lost, it's nobody's fault but mine. You know, If we know this and we hear this information, my brothers and sisters, there's no need for us to live life in no other way but on top of the world. Amen? Does that make sense? All right. We want to remember the sacrifice that Christ did for us on Calvary's cross this morning. We're going to remember the sacrifice. Remembering the sacrifice this morning. We look at the scriptures in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 32. If we take ourselves back in time and into this time where Paul wrote these prolific words about communion, about the Lord's Supper, we'll see that the Corinthian church was a church that had many problems. We say all the time that all churches have problems because they have people in it. So if you're looking for a perfect church and you find it, guess what? You just messed it up. Because you're not perfect. Amen? You like that, huh? But churches are a little messed up because they have people in them. And the people in this particular church in Corinth that Paul was writing to in 1 Corinthians, the problem was putting up with sin among other church members. How many of y'all know church members that sin? Amen. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, what I like to talk about all the time is us being A-plus Christians, right? So that means us being the best Christian, the best man or woman of God that we can be. Amen? So let's talk about this today. In this particular church, in 1 Corinthians, they had no reservations against treating some of the people better than others. Have you ever been in a church and the preacher had his select few? You know, and you just felt like, you know, you were never part of the clique, the crew. You never were part of the in crowd. Some of us that have been in church have experienced that. I mean, you know, that there was always a group over here and you never knew what was going on. You know, well, I just come to church and that's it. So in this particular church, there were some people that were being treated or even discriminated against. Amen? And this is what the crazy thing is. They had no problem about withholding their food from those that were less fortunate. And at the beginning of the church, there was a fellowship dinner called the Love Feast, which was followed by communion. And some call this the agape meal, which is still a practice in a lot of churches. So in this church in Corinth, what they would have is a love feast. They would have a dinner before they would actually have communion. Are y'all with me? And I'm in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's where I am. And this is what was going on. So during this agape meal, Tony, Sister McGuire would have her potato salad over here, and she say, "Don't let Johnny in my potato salad." And Minister Smith has her turkey over here, and she would say, "Oh, don't let Beige and her family in my turkey." So this type of thing was going over food. And Paul is addressing these people's actions in the church. Isn't it sad the way some of us act or some of them act as Christians? We are supposed to be an example for the rest of the world. To be a Christian, that means to be Christ-like. And you know what? Christ held nothing back from anybody. He gave the best he had. He gave all he had to everybody he encountered. But I'm talking about what was going on in this particular church so we can understand the importance of what we're about to do here today. Does that make sense? So it was followed by communion, and everyone was to bring something to this particular feast. It was kind of like a potluck. Everybody was supposed to bring something in. Y'all know what? How many of y'all... Most of the issues that go on in churches start in the kitchen. Y'all know the eating's always been an issue. If you want to see some church folks show out, start cooking. That's why we don't do a whole lot of eating here. Because I don't want y'all showing out over green beans and corn. Or, better yet, strawberry cheesecake. And I'm going to leave that alone. Orange Chapel, I love y'all. But, Candace cheesecake going to cause a fight right back there? Yeah, it's an inside joke. I'm withholding information from y'all. Anyway. Somebody had put back some cheesecake, and somebody wanted some cheesecake, and we told them we didn't have any more. And before they left, guess what we bust out with? Cheesecake. Woo! Withholding the good stuff. I'm going to leave that alone. So, Paul strongly opposed this behavior of I'm going to hold my stuff back for so-and-so. Paul, he opposed this action, so he's talking to the Corinthian church about this. In his letter, he warned them that they were not honoring the memory of Christ's death for their sins. In fact, he told them that they were sinning at the communion table. He wanted it to stop. Now, let's unpack our meal today. Y'all ready to unpack? Y'all remember we used to go to church and our grandmothers used to bring those big boxes, cardboard boxes, and it was pots in the cardboard box and bring their food in the cardboard. Y'all remember that? Wasn't that some good food? So let's unpack this cardboard box. Proper elements for the Lord's Supper. Let's look at verses 23 through 26 of 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he broke it, given thanks, he broke it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." So Paul received instructions straight from who? Christ, didn't he? "For I have received the law of the Lord, that which is also I deliver unto you." So he received this directly from God in order how to carry out the communion. Amen? So, Paul was an apostle. We know that Paul was an apostle who actually accepted Christ after his death. He was one of those people that used to persecute the church. Amen. And now we know that Paul, who was once a persecutor of the church, is now being persecuted by the church. Are y'all with me? He was saved in a miraculous manner. Paul went away for 3 years to be instructed by Christ. One of these things which he was instructed on was the Lord's Supper. So he shared what he had learned with the authority to the Corinthian church. and they were instructed in the proper way to celebrate the Lord's death. Sometimes, my brothers and sisters, we can think we're doing something right. Amen. But you know what? We have to ask the Lord for wisdom and knowledge in all things, and he will direct us in the manner in which things should be done. The Bible says that things should be done decent and in order. Amen. And even when it comes down to our Lord's Supper, my brothers and sisters, we have to do this thing decent and in order. And number one, we have to be decent and in order. Amen. Amen. So the elements for the Lord's Supper, we see that there's bread here, right? And the bread was to represent the body of Christ that died on the cross for our sins. He suffered many abuses on his way to the cross. His body was in rough shape on the cross, and he suffered on the cross. And guess what he did? He gave his all for us. Amen? Does that make sense? The bread represents what? The red bread represents what? And his body was in rough shape. He had suffered so many things before. He had been beaten. He had been spit on. All of these things that had happened to his body. He had been whipped all night long. Till the flesh was ripped from his back. Can you see it? But he did all of that. And his body went through all of the torment and all of the devastation and all the destruction that he did. And my brothers and sisters, you and I, act like he done nothing. Think about it. What he did for us. And we can take it so lightly. We take it so lightly. Some of us only acknowledge him on Sunday. How many of you, Tammy, would you give Johnny for us to live and watch him be beaten, spit on, laughed at, talked about, nailed to a cross? That's A+ Christianity, baby. That's good. That's good. But think about it. Could you give your baby? The cup, my brothers and sisters, the cup was to represent the blood of Christ that he shed on the cross for our sins. The Bible says that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. Christ had to shed his blood for all of us. The animal sacrifice in the Old Testament looked forward to the time when Christ would shed his blood for the sins of the world. This sacrifice was the final one needed to save the world. His blood was enough for all those who accept him as their personal savior. Paul tells us that celebrating with these elements reminds, my brothers and sisters, it reminds the Christian, it reminds the saved ones, it reminds the people of the church of Christ's sacrifice. We so often and so easily forget. We often complain about small sacrifices. How many of y'all didn't want to get up this morning? How many of you are really struggling because it's a little hot in here right now? How many of you are really contemplating on whether you really want to go all the way to Como or not? But look at the sacrifice that Christ, and I'm not trying to convince y'all you need to come on and go with me. But the things that we complain about, I don't have anything to wear. My hair is not done. Well, it take a lot. Gas is almost $4 a gallon. I don't know if I'm driving to. But we ignore the incredible sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave with his body and his blood. None of y'all had to be beaten this morning, did you? Did anybody take a whooping? Did anybody have to shed blood? How many of y'all freak out when you have to take blood at the doctor? Oh, Lord, they're going to take blood. I can't look. But Jesus Christ shed his blood for you and I. I wish this was a cartwheel hallelujah sermon. And you know what? This really should be. Amen? My brothers and sisters, the proper attitude for the Lord. So we know what the elements mean now. We know what the bread and the wine mean, right? The bread represents what? And the wine or wine substitute represents what? The blood of Jesus Christ. But let's look at the proper attitude. And all of you that were here a few Wednesdays ago got a good Bible study or fussing or whatever you want to call it about your attitudes. We need to have the right attitude, my brothers and sisters, in regards to God's program. Amen? Look at verses 28 and 29. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, and drink this cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let every man examine himself, so let him eat that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Did y'all see that? Do you see how important this is about to be? The proper attitude. Do you have the proper attitude this morning to partake of the Lord's Supper? Because those who had issues, who had problems with their brothers and sisters in the church, I don't want you eating out of my pots. And to you and I, doesn't that sound, we laughed about that, right? About so-and-so don't want me to eat none of that food, or I'm going to hide this. But you know what? In the eyesight of God, you have to understand that Paul received this revelation from God, was instructed by God. So this is important. Our attitudes really mean something. Amen? Christian folks shouldn't be mean. And some church folks are some of the meanest folks you ever run into sometimes. Sister Hicks, I don't want no mean ushers on that door. Some churches you go to, that's the meanest person in the church. Because they can take their gum. Oh, give me that gum. Don't give me that gum, you're going to hell. That's some stuff we do. Like, seriously? Yeah. The right attitude. So there are two ways someone can take the Lord's Supper, right? There are two ways that somebody can take it. And, boy, we better deal with this today. I'm trying to help you. Nobody's probably going to take communion today. Paul makes this clear to the members of this church. He makes it plain to us as well what makes the difference. All right? Y'all okay? Is this all right? Is this helping anybody? Those who examine themselves before taking the supper. Look at this. The ones who examine themselves before they partake of the Lord's Supper are the ones who are taking it in a worthy manner. For what are they examining themselves? And they're examining themselves for sin, right? Sin keeps us from a right relationship with the Lord. So when we examine ourselves, we are to confess it. God has promised to forgive us and restore us to our proper fellowship with him. Somebody look at 1 John 1 and 9. 1 John 1 and 9. If we examine ourselves, and examine ourselves for what? Sin. Examine ourselves for sin. Somebody find it. When you find it, raise your hand. I want you to read it for me. Go, Sister Braxton. Go ahead.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Did y'all hear that? If we confess our sins, he will forgive us. How many times have we accepted the Lord's Supper and we did not examine ourselves and ask God to forgive us for our sins? He will forgive you, but you have to ask him. Some of that stuff that you want to forget about, that you don't want to talk about, you can talk to him about it. Some of your stuff, Marcus, you don't need to tell me. Some stuff just between you and God. And he will forgive you. See, people won't forgive you, but God will. Amen? Thank you, Marcus. Thank you. People will hold you. Oh, you remember when? Back then, you remember how he used to be. You remember what she, You know how she is. She changed her life. She asked God to forgive her. What's your problem? So he's just and will forgive us. There's some preachers that messed up, and that was the end of their preaching career. But we do have a higher calling, though. We ought to try to be A-plus preachers if we can be. Amen? All right. Glad y'all said amen. The other kind of person here is those who are judged for not examining themselves. You know, if you don't examine yourself, if you don't check yourself, y'all remember the song back in the day? Some of y'all are not going to know this song because it was a rap song. But the song said, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. You know what? A self-check is the best check in the world, because nobody knows you like you. You can dress up and look cool and look sweet and put on makeup and all that stuff and lipstick and sew her in. Shave your head to cover that bald spot all you want to. But God knows what's in you. Ooh, I like that, Sister Roberta. Help me preach. She said, ain't nothing hid from him. That's God speaking right there. There's nothing hid from him. But those who don't examine themselves. You know what? I have a problem with people that always got a problem with everybody else. I'm a probation officer. It's never their fault. I was hanging out with the wrong people. Really? Well, the other kid that came in, his mama told me that he was hanging out with you. And you the wrong person. You know? Never my fault. Well, it's because I'm black. That's why I didn't get the job. Really? Maybe, but, you know, we got a black president. Black folks didn't vote him in, y'all. It's not enough of us to. Oh, y'all can't believe I said that in mixed company, can you? Like, oh, pastor, they're not coming back now. I'm just being real. We use excuses. You know, I mean, you know, all kind of excuses. Well, I'm not, if I was taller. Not, man, listen, quit. You can miss me with the excuses. Amen? But we got to check ourselves. So this group is made up of individuals in the church who choose to come to church and not taking sin seriously. Uh-oh. And that's the thing that's plaguing their lives, that's keeping them crippled when you don't address it. It's kind of like having a growth. Having sin on us is like having a skin cancer. You know, you get them little spots. You know, people get those little spots, and what you gonna do? You get to go get the spot out, right? But if you don't get the spot out, did you know what kind of cancer do they call it? A melanoma. That's one of the worst cancers that you can get. So you have to check that spot that's on you. Some of us have spotted up. And we never do anything about it. You get a pimple on your face, you got to go get something, get it out. Go get some Proactive. Get some Stridex. Some what's that stuff? Not Neosporin. What's that? Noxzema. Y'all remember, we all used to use Noxzema. Got to clean yourself up. Amen? But y'all, guess what, y'all? This is church people. You have to understand that the Corinthian church, Paul is addressing the church folks. So you know what that means? Really, to be honest with you, when we're going to get down here a little further, these were saved folk. They just mixed up. Y'all, I want to be saved, but I also want to be a disciple. I don't want to just, when I go to heaven, I want to, you know, I want to be able, when I get to heaven, I want those rewards in heaven for those that I helped out along the way. Amen? Don't you like helping people? You remember that time you gave that person a boost that was on the side of the road, and you felt so good after you helped them out? And they said, can I pay you anything? He said, no. This, if I'm ever on the side of the road, you help me out. So let's look at this. These people, they might be people who have accepted Christ as their Savior, but are living an uncommitted life. We know a lot of people that accepted Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior, that are not living committed lives. Amen? And when you're not acknowledging your sins, you're not living a committed life to Christ. You have to acknowledge where you messed up. Amen? It's kind of like looking in the mirror and having a, your nose is dirty. And you see it. And you just walk on off like nothing. Huh? You got to get that thing. Amen? I knew y'all would get that one. And you know what? Have you ever been around people like all day? And then you go to the restroom, you've been around people all day, and you look in the mirror, and nobody told you? See, this is what Paul was doing with the Corinthian church. He was saying, look, guys, you messed up. I'm trying to help you out. And that's you and I, we can help each other out. That's what the Lord told me to do with you guys in communion today. Because there are consequences and repercussions for accepting this unworthily. Amen? Oh, man. Oh. So, they were those who sometimes we call Sunday Christians. And outside the church, see, we call them Sunday Christians, but outside the church, they call them hypocrites. Any of y'all familiar with that word? Probably every time you mess up, you just a hypocrite. That what? this group of people is known to the pastors as individuals who sit, soak, and sour the pews. They are usually the ones who find fault in everything in the church. Those who don't admit their faults. Well, I just couldn't follow Pastor today. He was lost. Really? When's the last time you opened your Bible? Are you following God's GPS? Because last time I heard, I was on route. I was going in the right direction. Amen? There are those who normally that are not involved in daily Bible reading. Some of y'all, it hurt your heart to read the Bible. There are many things that separate us, separate them from God. This type of person should reflect and repent before taking the Lord's Supper. For the Lord will not tolerate this behavior, and there are consequences. All right? Are y'all with me? Are we rolling together with this morning? Amen. Amen. You know, we get enough hooping and hollering. Sometimes we just need to learn some stuff. And this is a good refresher for some of y'all that already know. It ain't just drinking grape juice and eating some flat bread that don't taste like nothing. It's more to it than that. Amen? Watch this. Look what Paul wrote in verses 30 through 32. He says, For this cause many are weak and sickly among you and may sleep. Did y'all see that? For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. And we should not be condemned with the world. Is that what your Bible says? So, many become weak and sickly. This is a type of judgment which is called chastening. Those individuals who accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, but are not living for the Lord, will be judged by the Lord. If any of you is living a life of sin, but is not being chastened or disciplined, check yourself to be sure that you are a true believer. Let me rewind that. If you are living any kind of life, doing any and everything, and there's been no consequences or repercussions for your mistakes and what you're doing, you may need to rewind the tape and see if you truly accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Because those that are His, He will chasten. Those that belong to God, He will discipline us. Amen? Kind of like leaving a penny on the floor. You will get a whooping by God. You know what, guys, I'm one of those people, I'll be honest with you, Tony. When I mess up, Lord, He don't hardly give me 24 hours. I mean, I get it quick. Anybody else get it quick? I get it quick. Then I'm going to look at long face. I already knew. So if you're just doing anything, and no nothing, it's all good. You may need to check and see what team you on. Amen. Because God is not going to lose any. He's going to correct us. Amen. He's going to correct his children. If I mess up when I was a kid, he's going to correct me. He's not going to say anything to Steve Jr. because he don't belong to him. He's going to correct me. Amen. The Bible says for whom the Lord loveth. This is in Hebrews 12 and 6. Somebody get there. Somebody get there real quick. Hebrews 12 and 6. Hebrews 12 and 6. When you get it, raise your hand. I'm going to let you read for us. Probably nobody's going to put their hand up now. Okay, here we go.
For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth.
Did y'all see that? Whom he loved, he what? Y'all see that? So who he loves, he going to check. He going to get all up in your stuff. Amen? It's kind of like, you know, that teacher in school that you really didn't like, but she just wanted you to do your best. Amen? So, my brothers and sisters, we see that many Christians who are in this condition, you know, and again, just like I said, that there are many Christians that are in this condition. They haven't, you know, asked God to cleanse their lives. They haven't asked the Lord to do anything. They're just kind of going. And then when you accept this, let's take it a step further. When he says that many sleep, so. First, this cause many are weak and sickly among you. So because of their actions, there were a lot of people in this Corinthian church that were sick and weak. How many of us know people in our church that are sick and weak? Don't raise your hand. And when I say the church, I'm not talking just Orange Chapel. Because I believe that y'all got it going on. I think y'all have this thing pretty much figured out and you're headed in the right direction. Amen? But for the body of Christ, when you look over the body of believers, can you see that some are weakly and sick among us? And this just tells us why. Because every first Sunday, we eating and drinking damnation on our souls. Woo! I knew y'all get quiet on that. It says many die. But the judgment is terminal, my brothers and sisters, for doing this unworthily. Some die. Did y'all see that? What did it say? What does it start out? Verse 30 says what? For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and what? And many sleep. Uh-oh, let's stop right there. I love the wording that Paul uses here, because he used the word sleep, which in reference means that the Christian has died. Sleep. We sleep. The Christian sleeps. Didn't say it lost his salvation. But has experienced an untimely death because of his actions or her actions. Does that make sense? So my brothers and sisters, you know what? God loves us so much that if we get so far out there, he'll just take us and bring us on home. Amen? Does that make sense? Anybody here want to die? Huh? How many of y'all usually listen to Biggie Smalls? Notorious B.I.G. And that CD he put out, he said, Ready to Die. Y'all remember that Ready to Die CD? What happened to him? He died. Tragic death. They still don't know who killed him. But my brothers and sisters, here we find that some Christians die prematurely because of sin in their lives. How many of y'all know somebody that we all know that person that was an alcoholic or a drug addict, and because they wouldn't turn from their wicked ways, amen? Because they wouldn't turn from what they were doing, that person ended up in a fatal car accident, or that person ended up dying of a drug overdose. Whitney Houston, prime example. How many times and how many men of God and women of God tried to turn Whitney Houston around? I didn't say Whitney went to hell, but guess what? Whitney could have lived a prosperous life. Whitney died broke. Why? Because she would not examine herself. Y'all remember the interview, Crack is Whack. Really? Well, why are you still smoking it? I know we got some Whitney fans in here. But what we tried to do at her funeral was make her this awesome, great person, and she could sing. But the lifestyle. Any of y'all see the little show with her and Bobby Brown on it? Sister had issues. Amen? Some of us have issues. And if we don't examine ourselves and ask God to come into our lives and ask God to forgive us for our sins, we may go to sleep in the bathtub. Amen? Just like Whitney. Many are sick and weak among us because of why? We fail to examine ourselves and are doing this unworthily every first Sunday. My brothers and sisters, Paul knew what needed to be done for the Corinthian church. He talked to them about what needed to take action. He talked to them about the fact that they needed to fess up. They need to ask God for forgiveness. Ask my brothers if you will come at this time. Amen. As we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper on today, my brothers and sisters, we have to cut sin off at the roots. Some of us letting it get too high. Brother Eli used an analogy the other day about a young man that had invented a weed killer. He sprayed the weeds, but they kept on, but they didn't die. A day later, they didn't die. So some of the guys that were there began to laugh at him because his weeds were still standing. A few days later, they come back and the weeds are just laying over. The chemical that he had used killed from the roots. Amen? My brothers and sisters, there's some things in our lives that we have to kill from the roots. Amen? And it took a few days in order for the weeds to finally lay down. If you have that sin in your life that's standing up real high, why don't we just ask God to just get it at the roots this morning? So that when we, amen, partake of the Lord's Supper, we'll be doing it worthily. This is actually a celebration, not a chance. We can go down the street and take a chance. But this is not a chance. Amen? My brothers and sisters, if you don't get anything else out of what I talked about today, let's make a decision right now. The Lord's Supper can be an experience of worship and worthiness, a time of repentance and remembrance, or it can be a time of disobedience, which will result in God's ultimate discipline in your life. Let's spend some time in prayer and self-examination before we partake of the Lord's Supper. Amen. I need every person in here, before we do this, I need you to close your eyes, focus on you and you only. Your issues, your problems, your shortcomings, your sin, most especially. And if there's something in you that should not be at this very moment right now, you ask God to take it out. So that as we move forward and partake of the Lord's Supper, that you will be a worthy vessel. Because you've been cleansed by an almighty God. Nothing to play with. This is a serious time.